Europe.
Charlemagne. Celebration nations. National days offer a study into the psyches of Europeans.
Want to get anything done in Europe? Avoid May. The month kicks off with Workers' Day, which is celebrated by not working. The end of the Second World War on the continent, May 8th, warrants another day off in some places. The Christian festivals of Orthodox Easter, Ascension, and Pentecost result in yet more long weekends. All this time off can have a paradoxical effect. Reportedly, the French government had planned a big conference this week on promoting the four-day work week, but then realised Wednesday and Thursday were jours fériés, days off which most people supplement with a pont, bridge, on Friday. The confab was postponed. Only in Europe would it be a struggle to get people to attend a meeting on working less. Another reason to spend time away from the office this past week was Europe Day on May 9th. The occasion is the anniversary of the plan put forward in 1950 to pool the continent's coal and steel industries, which, several million meetings later, gave birth to today's European Union. Alas, the holiday is not for the public to enjoy, but only for the 60,000-plus employees of the bloc's institutions, most of them based in Brussels. Perhaps one day, a few million meetings hence, citizens from across a federalised union will mark the holiday together. For now, the EU's 27 members, and a dozen neighbours not in the club, jealously guard their national days. The occasions they choose to celebrate, revolution in France, the death of a poet in Portugal, neutrality in Austria, and the manner in which the days are spent, offer a glimpse into the psyches of the continent's citizens. Many Europeans, like their American cousins on July 4th, commemorate shaking off the imperial yoke. Unlike Americans, some Europeans still share a continent with their former tormentors. Iceland and Norway both cheer evicting the Danes. Cypriots and Maltese observe the ousting of Brits. On October 28th, Czechs proclaim the birth of Czechoslovakia in 1918, whereas for Slovaks, real independence came when they agreed to an amicable split from the Czechs in 1993. The Balkans are torn between celebrating the dissolution of Yugoslavia 3 decades ago or their earlier emancipation from the Ottoman Empire. From Finland to Georgia, Ukraine and the Baltics, most places that border Russia, and were thus occupied by it at one point, observe their routing of Vladimir Putin's predecessors. In an odd twist, Spain remembers not the end of imperialism, but its outset. Its Dia de la Hispanidad on October 12th marks the arrival of Christopher Columbus in the Americas in 1492, and thus the start of Spain's colonial era. Monarchies such as Sweden and Luxembourg grant a day off to Lord Crowned Heads past and present. The Dutch National Day moves to each new monarch's birthday, though seemingly not if they are born in winter, when outdoor parties would be unpleasant. Liechtenstein celebrates the 20th century prince who helped turn it from rural backwater to global tax haven. Other countries commemorate the adoptions of their constitutions. For a continent where failure is supposedly a cause of irremediable shame, plenty of not-quite-successful events are lauded. The Baltics memorialise not their escape from Soviet oppression in 1991, but their short-lived break for freedom from Russia in 1918. Hungary has 3 national holidays, 2 of which immortalise uprisings, in 1848 and 1956, that were subsequently crushed. There is plenty of politics in picking what is officially memorialised. Italy's National Day, on June 2nd, honours the establishment of its post-fascist republic in 1946. Giorgia Meloni, the hard-right prime minister whose party remembers fascism more fondly than others, instead prefers to celebrate to the date of Italy's unification. Belarus used to mark the end of the Soviet era. The exiled democratic opposition still does, but its retrograde dictator now prefers to cheer liberation from the Nazis. In an act of passive-aggressive solidarity, erstwhile West Germany's National Day marked the occasion when East Germans, then a whole different country, had tried in 1953 to resist Soviet aggression. Germany's new date, October 3rd, marks its reunification in 1990. Portugal has eschewed political squabbles by celebrating the death of its foremost poet, Luís Vaz de Camões. Austria revels in its military neutrality by marking the constitution of 1955 that enshrined it. Perhaps the most pompous festivities are on France's July 14th, when a monarchical president oversees celebrations of the Revolution of 1789 with a grand military parade, as if to remind aspiring revolutionaries of what they would have to face down to overthrow the Nouveau regime. Ukraine, among others, once organized military processions too, but has suspended them for the time being. Norway turns over its national day to children's parades, where schools march under hand-sewn banners. Adults, fittingly for a petro-rich state, start the day with a champagne brunch. Ireland uses its St. Patrick's Day to rekindle its diaspora. Ministers are dispatched to countries across the world to quaff a pint of Guinness, while their boss, the Taoiseach, spends the day schmoozing America's president. The Dutch dress in orange from head to toe and suspend normal trading laws, allowing kids to put up stalls and flog their unwanted Christmas gifts. What of Europe Day? In Brussels, the EU opens its doors to the populace whose interests it somewhat distantly serves. At a weekend celebration in the run-up to the day itself, Charlemagne took his family on a tour of the bloc's institutions. There is much to celebrate in the simmering down of a continent plagued by centuries of war, one of them still going, to meeting rooms where besuited officials hash out their disagreements. If any fighting could be spotted, it was between national diplomats competing to see who could give out the most sweets to visiting children.